In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So continuing we're on page 79. The middle of the page, number 72. I just came back from Orrisville, the North America Martyr Shrine, met some beautiful souls, a great priest, all very interested in the divine will. And just being there at Orrisville, North American martyrs were martyred, and such a beautiful, peaceful place where it's the beginning, basically, of the United States, the beginning of the Catholic faith. Here's the martyrs, and the church says the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and now with Our Lady of America, everything that she has basically showed Sister Mary Ephraim, it's the closing. It's the history of the world is going to change very, very drastically. We're going to see it over, in a very short period of time, where, there's the warning, the miracle, the 3 days of darkness, all that has been prophesied is what we're living right now. And the way to get through this, Jesus tells Louisa, the only way is the Lord knows in his divine wisdom, he knows that this is going to be the most difficult time, but it's nothing to worry about. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be anxious about. God is going to take care of it. And that's what he wants. He wants us to do this. And this is why we're focusing on the role of the priest in the kingdom of the divine will. This era of the third fiat has begun. And his priesthood, Jesus says, I'm going to change the priesthood to the way I wanted it from the beginning. And what we're going to hear tonight is kind of sobering, but it's also, we know that the Lord is in charge. As he said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So this Jesus, I trust in you, is the life that we have to have. Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my everything. And so number 72, it says it must be imparted by the church. So again, this great gift of the divine will has to be given out to humanity through the church. And Jesus says it will be his shepherds that will feed the flock this first bread. And a lot of people hem and haw at that, unfortunately. Not understanding what God has planned. These are God's plans. These are not man's plans. And this is how we start with this one. Ongoing formation is a right and duty of the priest. So this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II told us is coming, he says it's the formation, a right and a duty of the priest, imparting it is a right and duty of the Holy Church. This is not man that's doing this. So often I hear people say, well, I go to confession to God. I don't have to go to confession to a priest. Well, that's not the way Jesus set it up. The sacrament of penance is to confess your sins. And it's not just, I'm sorry. It's, you have to go through, every thought, every word, every deed, because this is what the illumination of conscience is going to do. The illumination of conscience is going to be very, very tough. It's going to be shocking to most people, because most people accuse others, but they don't accuse themselves. They excuse themselves. And when the illumination of conscience comes, it's going to be, what did you think? What did you say? What did you do? Every moment of your life. And that's going to be reviewed. And Jesus is going to show us how, as the saints have said, how God views us in our sinfulness, not how we view ourselves, but from the divine perspective of the Lord. So it says, imparting it is a right and duty of the church. It is a right and duty of the priest on this, with this ongoing formation. It's not that you get a degree and you're done. With the divine will, this is going to expand eternally. For all eternity, we're going to learn more and more about our God, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect he is, how loving he is. This is established in universal law. In fact, in the same way that the vocation to the sacred ministry, now he says sacred ministry, that's forgotten by a lot of people, is received in the church. Only the church has the competence to impart the specific formation according to the responsibility proper to such a sacred ministry. It's not just another thing. This is the sacred ministry. The priest is there to make sure that people have the sacraments and sacramentals. This is their job. They are to feed the sheep. And Jesus says that this medicine that he has given to the world is the sacraments and sacramentals. Again, therefore, permanent formation and activity linked to the exercise of the ministerial priesthood belongs to the responsibility of the Pope and of the bishops. So this is why Jesus says that the Pope is going to come out with a new ways of for the priest to live, new ways for the priesthood is to develop. In this book that we have, The Role of the Priest of the Kingdom, is a hint at what's coming. And when we read this, we realize that this sacred ministry of the priesthood, instituted by Christ himself, is going to change the face of the earth. Now, we're going to see a lot of scientific changes. We're going to see a lot of economic changes. But the main change is going to be spiritual. The life of humanity, the lives of the little children of God, are going to so reflect the image and likeness of God that our spirituality cannot stay the same. So what we've learned over the past 2,000 years is how to, since we've been redeemed by Jesus, we learn how to do the will of God. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to learn how to live in the will of God. This is going to happen. So he's giving us this opportunity to learn how to do this. So in volume 10, 1:8:19:10, concerning the houses of reunions of the priesthood, the houses of the priests, then Jesus said to Father G, my son, courage, defend my cause. See, this is military. You have to have courage. You can't be a snowflake. Defend my cause. Okay, what is the cause that we, the priests, hand in, this is combat. But it's a combat of love. It's not a combat of blood. Defend my cause, sustain, help those priests whom you see a little disposed for this work of the divine will. So like today, the priest that I met today, what a great priest. His spirituality, just listening to him, his spirituality was, you know, if you could be envious, his relationship with Jesus and Mary, his abandonment of all his interests to follow Jesus's interest. You know, help those priests whom you see a little disposed for this work. This priest was greatly disposed. And when we were talking, it was a delight to hear of his love of Christ and his church, love of the Blessed Mother, faithfulness. It was really spectacular to hear him. Promise every good to the priest in my name, Jesus says, to those who will commit themselves, and threaten those whose cause contradictions and obstacles. This is what I mentioned it last week. Archbishop Carey, he said, those that say that there's heresies in Luis's writings must stop this. He says, you are hurting the cause. So this is, you can see the Archbishop knows this, you know, stop those contradictions, stop those obstacles. And what we're going to enter into is this new and divine way of holiness that Jesus says the survivors will live. We will possess. Hopefully it's us. We will possess this gift. Okay, so tell the bishops and the leaders, listen to this part, that if they want to save the flock, this gift of the divine will is the only means. All that the saints have taught us to this point is doing the will of God. To live in the will of God is what Jesus says is going to basically drive the evil one out. The one that we're fighting is not people. It's not individuals. It's principalities and powers. And as he says, find the people, find the priests that will commit themselves, threaten those who cause contradictions and obstacles. And that's exactly when you read the letter of Archbishop Piceri, this is what he says. Tell the bishops and the leaders that if they want to save the flock, if they want to save the church, this is the only means. So when we look at everything that the saints have taught us, everything that the saints have shown us, how beautiful, how magnificent. You know, we went over the life of Kateri Tikawitha at the shrine, and we went over the life of Sister Mary Ephraim at the shrine, how Our Lady said that her final request basically to humanity is what she gave to Sister Mary Ephraim. And what we see is it all points to the divine will. It all points to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that God is giving to us. He says very, very clearly, Jesus says, promise every good in my name to those priests who will commit themselves and threaten those who cause contradictions and obstacles. Tell the bishops and the leaders that if they want to save the flock, this is the only means. It is up to them to save the shepherds, to save the priests. And it's up to the shepherds to save the flock. And if the bishops do not place the shepherds in safety, how can the flock ever be saved? So what is Jesus saying? This gift of the divine will place the priests in safety. It'll give the priests the confidence, like the first thing, courage. Don't be a snowflake. Be courageous. What does the church teach? What does the church want from the priests? It's to lead the flock to Jesus, to lead the flock to embrace this new and divine way of holiness that's coming. So Jesus says the church then has the duty and the right to continue forming its priests because the priests are going to lead the flock. It's not the lay people leading the flock. We have to get that understanding. Like what I've mentioned before, a lay person can't get up in the time of a homily and give a homily. He can give a talk. It might be a nice talk. But the homily has the power of the Holy Spirit to change souls. The homily is not a nice talk, a good talk. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through the priest, speaking through the deacon, speaking through the bishop. He says, it's the duty and right of the church to continue forming its priests, helping them to progress in generous response to the gift which God has bestowed upon them. So this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will, Jesus says, I want the priest to embrace this. And he says, if you find a priest who's even slightly interested, give it to them. And that's what the laity is the same. A lot of people say, well, there's no priest. Jesus says, there's going to be an army of priests. But it's our responsibility, the layperson's responsibility, to present to the priests the gift of gifts. When I was in the seminary, the divine will was presented to me, and I went, "What?" I said, "This is so amazing." It was a yes from the beginning, because when you really enter into this gift, there's nothing like it. You know, you read the lives of the saints; they're great. Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint John of the Cross, the great mystics of the church are wonderful. But when you read what Jesus tells Louisa, what the saints learned through the power of the Holy Spirit, through their prayer, through their fasting, through their penance, through their mortifications, cannot compare to what Jesus tells Louisa. This is dictated to Louisa. And Louisa had to write these down, Jesus says, because this is what her priest told her to do. You write everything down so that we can understand where you're coming from. And that's why volume one is really volume two, because when volume two was written, which was really volume one, at the end, the priest read volume two and he said to Louisa, "How did you get to this sanctity? How did you get here? What did you do? What did Christ do in your life?" And that's volume one. This is what happened when I was a child. Dot, 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 dot. That's why volume one is much different than volume two through volume 36. It's so powerful, volume one, because it condenses all the first part of Louisa's life at the request of the pastor, of the priest, who said, "How did you get here? Where did you get this understanding, this spiritual insight?" And this is where Jesus basically said to Louisa, "This is how I want you to live." And then the priest reads this and he says to Louisa, "You must write everything down or you will go to hell for not writing it down." And she goes, "I don't want that." So she says, out of obedience, she said, "Lady, obedience told me I've got to obey." And so here in submission, in docility, in surrender is Louisa. And this is what's happening. God is teaching Louisa word by word, thought by thought. He's teaching Louisa what needs to be put on paper so that we can hear what Jesus wants. And that's what's saying. The church has the duty and the right to continue forming the priests, helping them to progress in generous response to the gift, this gift of gifts that God has bestowed upon them. On his part, the priest has also received as a demand of the gift connected with ordination. So Jesus is saying, what I'm going to do with my priesthood is what I originally planned. Okay. The right to have the necessary help from the church in order to carry out his service effectively in a holy way, if you want to say in this holy war that we're in. God is going to do this. And the grace that the priests have received by reading, studying, putting into practice these truths are so powerful. It's what Jesus wants for his church. So number 73, it must be ongoing. The activity of formation is based on the dynamic demand intrinsic to the ministerial charism, which is permanent and irreversible in itself. This cannot be reversed. What God has given to the priest through ordination, it's permanent and irreversible. That's why if a priest goes to hell, he's going to be a priest in hell. And the demons are going to have their way with him. Permanent and irreversible. Therefore, this can never be considered finished. It's forever. Neither on the part of the church, which imparts it, nor on the part of the priest who receives it. So it's the priest's responsibility to read, to study, to put it into practice. Like prayer, for example, the priests that I know that have left, basically prayer disappeared first. The prayer has to be constant. The prayer has to be, you have to spend time alone with Jesus, especially in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You have to listen to Jesus. If you heard what that priest said to me today, his whole life is listening to Jesus. And it's not with his ears, it's with his heart. And the Lord has directed him in a way that most priests have never experienced. But he says, therefore it is necessary that this be thought of and developed in such a way that all priests may receive it, keeping in mind the characteristics and possibilities that vary with age, condition of life, and assignments. So here, this is so necessary that Jesus is showing us that all priests who receive this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, it's going to help them. It's good. They're going to blossom. 74, it must be complete. Such formation must cover and harmonize all the dimensions of the formation of priests. Thus, it must tend to help each priest achieve the development of a full human personality matured in the spirit of service to others. So here, Jesus says, by serving, and this is why for the lay people, it's good to go to confession because it helps the priest be in service to you, which makes his priesthood grow. I remember I gave a talk on it was during Lent. The priest went on vacation and I was giving a talk. And I said to them, I said, do you love your priest? He was a great guy. I said, do you love your priest? And they said, basically, yes. I said, well, give him a gift. I said, the best gift is going to confession. He's using his priestly ministries. He's understanding his role as shepherd. I said, go to confession. Give him a gift. Well, the next week, you know, he calls me up and he goes, what did you say? I go, what do you mean? He says, I was in line for confession forever. And I said, good. It's the priest's job to make sure that the people have the sacraments, the sacramentals. It's his job. That's why the Roman ritual, the has all the blessings. It's just all the blessings that are ever needed in any parish is there, you know, and when the priest gives these blessings to the people, you'll hear later on, the people are nourished. The sacraments and sacramentals help them. Jesus said, it's a medicine for my people, Jesus says. Okay, so in whatever task he may receive, he is to be in spirit of service to others. It will permit him to be intellectually prepared in the theological sciences as well as in the human sciences insofar as they are linked with his ministry in order to pursue his function as witness to the faith with a greater effectiveness, that he have a deep spiritual life nourished by the intimacy with Jesus Christ. And to me, the only way that that is possible is when you spend time in front of Jesus, the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And every day when you spend your hour of adoration, you're nourished by the intimacy with Jesus Christ. Your priesthood is just, it's his priesthood. And the miracles that you're going to see is just astonishing. And by the love for the church, so that he may pursue his pastoral ministry with zeal and dedication. That word zeal is missing today. We have to have zeal for the church, zeal for the priesthood, zeal for the sacraments. Volume 27, 2, 11, 19, 30. Man was created to live in intimacy with us, triune God, in our house, in our own divine will, for us to secure our joys and perennial happiness as well as his, as mankind's happiness. We are one with God. And this is why I'm saying the earth is going to change. Everything's going to change, especially the spirituality. And what Jesus is calling us to is this intimacy with God. This is why we wear the wedding ring. Jesus has proposed to us and we have said yes. He says, basically, I'm looking for a bride. Will you be my bride? And that's so beautiful. Collectively, he marries the church, but individually, he marries each soul. And we have to have, he has to see in us, he loves, he says, I love spontaneity. I love zeal. I love the zeal that you have for me and for my church, Jesus says. So man was created to live in intimacy with triune God and the triune God's own divine will, for the triune to God to secure his role, his joys and perennial happiness as well as ours. So in practice, such formation must be complete spiritual, pastoral, human, intellectual, systematic, and personalized. It's everything. The priesthood to Jesus is everything. The priest must never forget that he is a man chosen among men to be at the service of men, to sanctify himself and carry out his priestly mission. He must present himself with an abundance of human virtues, which render him worthy of esteem by those around him. And in particular, he must practice goodness of heart. He must practice patience. He must practice kindness. He must practice strength of soul. He must practice love for justice. He must practice even-mindedness. He must practice truthfulness to his word. He must practice coherence in the duties freely assumed, etc. The priest is to be another Christ, another Christ. This is what God is waiting for, persona Christi. It is likewise important that human virtues must be reflected in the priest's social conduct, which is correctness in the various forms of human relations, friendships, and courtesy. This is what Jesus is expecting. This is what Jesus is demanding. It's, we don't belong to ourselves. This is why we wear black. All right. We don't belong to, we have died to ourselves. This is what God is waiting for. Died to our ego and our will so that the divine will can reign. So now we hear the sorrow of Jesus. Volume 10 is the sorrow that Jesus gives to Luisa about his priesthood. He says the saddest thing is the terrible plight of his priesthood. Volume 10, 12:25 at Christmas, 19:10. You must know that this sorrow of mine is still lasting because the priests of these times have banded together with the priests of those times, of Jesus's times. It was the priests that put Jesus to death. They have been holding hands in their attachment to families, their attachments to interest, their attachment to exterior things. And they care very little or not at all about that which is interior. I was in one rectory once. Every priest in the rectory had a television. And there was a common television. And the pastor kept on saying to me, I'll buy you a television. And I said, I don't want a television. He goes, no, really, I'll get you a television. He goes, what kind would you like? I said, I don't want a television. And what do they say? They say a young priest drives too fast, an old priest drinks too much. What Jesus is saying is they care very little or not at all about that which is interior. The saints have said that the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests, that the pavement of hell is covered with the crushed skulls of bishops. And now this, I'm not saying anything about the priests and the bishops, but that's what the saints have said. I think Saint Catherine or Saint Teresa of Avila said that the worst places in the world are convents and rectories. They're beautiful on the outside, filled with corruption on the inside. Jesus says this. They care very little or not at all about that which is interior. So when you give the priest, your priest, the 24 hours of the Passion, when you give your priest the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, when you give your priest the book from the Vatican, the son of the divine will, Luisa Picaretta, this is going to help develop their interior life. I mean, a lot of priests are working more than one job. And it's exhausting. They have no time. The priest has to discipline himself for prayer, discipline himself most especially to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And this is why I think John Paul II wanted every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. Eucharistic adoration is essential. It's essential for the priest. He says this, Jesus says this, even more, some have degraded themselves so much as to make even secular people understand how unhappy they are with their state. We had a convocation, and the bishop said, we just got together with the youth, the young men, and we asked them, you know, would you like to enter the seminary? And they gave their reasons. The main reason they said no was they said, the priests are all unhappy. They're not happy people. Again, how sad to hear that. The young men said, don't want to join a group that's not happy. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, even the secular people understand how unhappy these priests are with their state. They lower themselves, they lower their dignity down to the bottom and below even the seculars themselves. This sadness, the priesthood, like my spiritual director told me a long time ago, if you know a priest and he's not happy, stay away from him. And I looked at him, I said, because he was always clowning around. And I looked at him, I said, well, why? He said, there's something wrong. You can't be sad in the priesthood. There's no sadness here. It is joy. Even in death, there's joy. The goal is to obtain heaven, not to live here, but to obtain heaven. So think about that. They've degraded themselves so much as to even make the secular people understand how unhappy they are with their state, lowering their dignity down to the bottom, below the seculars themselves. What does Jesus say? This is my sorrow. This is my sorrow, he says. My sorrow is so great. The sadness that he has is the terrible plight of his priests. And that's why Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to change my priesthood. How is he going to change it? He's going to give us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. And as the priest begins to live this life, he is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. And God will test us continuously. Do you trust me? He tests us all the time. Our response is, yes, I trust you completely. And it's not just completely, it's completely, 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 I trust you. See, what's coming is going to be really tough. It's going to be very tough. But it's a birth, Jesus said. It's like a birth. The pains are going to get more intense. The pains are going to be more frequent. And bam, the kingdom's here. The baby's here. So we have to understand that the Lord knows us and he has planned. He has predestined us to live at this time. Everything is in his hands. There is nothing to worry about. Our job is like, what does he say? What does he say right at the beginning? Courage, defend my cause, sustain, help those priests whom you see little, just a beginning to want this gift. Well, let me read about it. That's the lay people's job. That's the priest's job to one another is, this is the gift of gifts. Would you like it? And Jesus said, what happens at first is what happened when he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. They all stepped back and they said, this is a hard saying, you know, to eat your flesh and drink your blood. And they all walked away from him. And here Jesus is giving us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we're walking away from him. And now he says, now I've waited to give you the first bread, which is a perennial communion with God. The one that Adam had before the fall. It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. It's a new beginning that's coming. And our God is asking us, he's saying, are you ready for what I'm going to do? This new and divine way of holiness is going to come upon the earth. Why? The kingdom of God on earth is coming down on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father, and he has chosen us to be alive at this time. And if we're complaining and being negative, God's going to go, I can't use you. He said to Louisa, if you're not peaceful, I can't be there. But if you are peaceful, he says, I'm there. I'm with you. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. He says, what does he say to the apostles? Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for God is meek and gentle of heart. And this is what the priest is supposed to give to the people, this confidence in God. That when the priest starts preaching the truth, the churches are going to be packed. It's not about your vacation. Oh, I had a great vacation. I remember one of my first assignments, they would go down to the Caribbean, and they'd all the homilies would all be about their vacation. What a wonderful time. Here's people working 7 days a week plus overtime, not even capable of flying anywhere. And, you know, the priests are bragging about, oh, this was great and that was great and this was great. Where's Jesus? It says, so Jesus is saying this. He's telling us very, very clearly. He says, my daughter, what prestige can their words still have among the peoples? Even more, because of them, the peoples keep deteriorating in the faith and into abysses of worse evils, groping their way in darkness because they see no more light in the priests. Jesus says, I'm going to change the priesthood. And he says, this is going to be the way and the how I'm going to do it. So this book was put together out of the 36 volumes of what Jesus said he wants his priests to do. And when you begin to read this, everything changes. It really does. Everything changes. And he says, this is the reason for the necessity of the houses of reunion of the priests, so that freed from the midst of darkness by which he is invaded. What's the darkness? Their families, their interests, their cares for exterior things. The priest may give out light of true virtues, and the people may turn back from the errors in which they have fallen. So Jesus is saying, as the priests begin to read the book of heaven, everything's going to be eliminated from them. All the excesses. It's just going to be Jesus and them. It's going to be Jesus and becoming a divine mirror of Jesus, being filled through the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the divine will, and to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. As this becomes part of the priesthood, Jesus says, it's going to be given to all the world. He says, I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for those souls who will live in the divine will more than anything, more than what? Interest of families, interest of their, of, and the cares for exterior things. Why? So the priests may give out light of true virtues, and the people may turn back from the errors in which they have fallen. These reunions are so necessary. That's one of the things that's coming. That's one of the things that's going to happen. That every time the church has reached the bottom, this has almost always been the means in order to make the church rise again, more beautiful, more majestic. See, what's coming to the earth is a new and divine way of holiness. It's not It's not anything that we've seen before. It's not the priesthood of the, like Jesus says, 2,000 years ago. It's not, it's the priesthood that Jesus, this is what he says to Louisa. I'm going to bring the priesthood to what I wanted from the beginning. It's a new and divine way of holiness. So as the lay people read, and see, this is the good part about it. The lay people go to the priest and say, Father, can you explain this to me? If the priest says, yes, it's going to be good. If the priest says, no, don't worry. It's not time yet. You know, read something else. Father, this is so amazing. This has helped my life. Can you read this? And, it might take a little while, but again, Jesus says he wants the priests. And so listen to what he says. He says, even if they have a slight interest in this, give it to them. Okay. So what I like to do is with some of my priest friends, I read Louisa, and when I, something that strikes me, and there's something every day, especially if you're reading the calendar, there's something every day that just God goes, hey, look at this. And you go, this is amazing. And then God says, good, watch what I will show you what to do with it. It's not just for us. It's for, like, for example, for Christmas, you find a beautiful saying for each of the ones you're going to give a gift to. And write down what it says, and then just say Louisa Picaretta or volume 10, May 2nd, 1910, you know, whatever. Louisa Picaretta. And then what will happen is they'll say, you know, this really changed my life. This really helped me begin to understand this new and divine way of holiness that God is giving to us. So again, God is good. He's got great plans. He needs us to cooperate. The lights are going dark. I think what's important is that read. Okay. So what's coming with the church? The church is going to rise again, more beautiful, more majestic. You know who else said that? Pope Benedict, when he was a bishop. The church is going to be shrink down to nothing. Why? God is purifying the church, purifying the world. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. So what is he doing? Why shrinking down? Because he's purifying it. You cut the branches that are dead. You nurture the plant. This is what Jesus is doing. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. And God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Don't be upset when you're going to see some tough things. You really are going to see some really tough things, but don't be upset. God is in charge. God's got great plans, and we're in them. So just keep on reading, studying, put this into practice, because this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth is ours. He has called us to live at this time, to hear John Paul II say, get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. And now it's here. And now what our Lord is saying is begin to live this. Begin to live this new and divine way of holiness. Read, study, put this into practice. Enter into this life that Jesus is breathing into. The Holy Spirit is breathing into. Our Lady is breathing into. They want us to be filled to capacity and overflowing. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.